Thirsty? You've come to the right place to wet your whistle. It's the Liquid Lifestyle with Ryan McGarian, a full hour of liquid refreshment. Now, here's Ryan. Everybody was dancing
in the moonlight. And a super awesome Saturday afternoon to you, my thirsty listener. And if the sound of my voice is flowing into your ears like a super fresh and well-balanced classic daiquiri, you know that you're riding the earth with the Liquid Lifestyle. With me here at the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network. And as always, I am your host and on-air bartender, Ryan McGarian, where today we are recording from Lardo East up on Hawthorne, man. It's so good to be out here. If you're joining us for the first time, this little show of mine is dedicated to all things liquid and delicious. Specifically, we love talking spirits and cocktails and beers and wines and coffee and tea, along with the fine folks and joints that serve them up, be them right here in the City of Roses, Hops, and Hipsters, or as you might have experienced in the past, parts far, far beyond. All right, like I said, we are kicking it at Lardo. Lardo is, the story behind this place is so amazing, but I'm not going to get ahead of myself because I'm sitting here chatting with Chef Rick Giancarelli, the founder, creator, master of Lardo. Rick, how the heavens are you today, man?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Dude, it's so good to be here. And just so you know, man, I mean, like, you can't sit with Rick and not crush a single hop mosaic frame pale ale, right? It's just not okay, right? You just got to sit down and on a Saturday afternoon and enjoy one of these bad boys, right?
Exactly. And this is one of my new favorites from Frame, mosaic single hop. I can't get enough of it. Yeah, really digging it.
You and me both, man. I mean, I rolled in here to meet you, dude, and I saw that up on the board. I'm like, man, there's so many things I love about this guy. But today is not so much the liquid lifestyle as it is the Lardo lifestyle, because normally we're talking specific, like I said, we're talking about liquids, and there are a lot of good liquids here, but I thought it'd be really exciting to kind of skew over to talk about solids today and talk about your journey, because it's so exciting to me. I mean, your experience in P-Town is so unique. It's so unique in that you were an original kind of cart chef, somebody who came in with incredible experience. I believe you've been over in Boston with Todd English, or
that's where I started. After I graduated from culinary school in New York, my first job out of school was with Todd in Boston, and I was there for 4 years. And I tried to leave a couple of times, but he got me back in mafia style, offered me more challenges, and yeah, I stuck around because that guy is in his day was just prolific, and he just kept growing and expanding, and he kept his menus were huge, so I felt like as long as I kept learning, I was just gonna stick it out with him. And I really loved working for him, and it was such a great foundation for everything else that I did, even making sandwiches.
Dude, I've worked with Chef English just on events and stuff. That dude's intense, and he's a massive talent. I mean, like, I haven't heard much out of him in the last few years, but the layers that he has from his talent as a chef, from his talent as a brand developer, I mean, he is a quintessential kind of superstar in the modern American culinary movement. But I want to get back to you, man. So you've done some work with Todd, actually quite a bit. What brought you to P-Town? And just to kind of back up a little bit, for those who don't know, like, Lardo, these are like sick world-class sandwich operations that exist in North, East, and West Portland. And but I don't think many people know that Lardo started as a small cart. So, how did you end up, what brought you to P-Town, and how long ago was that? And tell us that story, man.
Yeah, sure. It all sort of happened by accident. It was all by accident. It was never part of any kind of a plan. I was living in Vermont. Before that, I was in New York City, also working for Todd at Union Square at the W Hotel. And, we had our first child, Luke, and we were living on the Upper East Side in a one-bedroom apartment. And
let me just clarify: you didn't have that son with Todd, right? You had that with your wife, right?
That's right. Yeah, no, didn't have a baby with Todd.
Good.
Yeah, my now wife Sheila and I were living in New York, and things got challenging, as they do in New York or any city like that. We Sheila was pregnant with our second child, and we made a move to Vermont. And initially, very shocking to go from Manhattan to Burlington, Vermont, but eventually I settled in, got a job at a place called the Inn at Shelburne Farms, which has this amazing property right on Lake Champlain, a fully non-profit working farm. It was, in a lot of ways, a real dream for a chef. You know, I learned a lot about the inner workings of sort of a circular food system, you know, and I really embraced it and I loved it. But, you know, after 6 years, Sheila and I started asking ourselves a lot of questions like, you know, we want somewhere with a little more vibrancy, a little more density. We wanted a little more of a food scene. I was definitely longing for a little more, you know, cultural stuff, more live music. So, yeah, Portland just presented itself. You know, it was all over the news. I mean, it was New York Times was just, you know, every food publication was writing about the Portland food scene, of course, as you know. So, got my attention. We visited. We fell in love. We moved. And that's, I mean, I've heard so many stories like that. I'm almost sick of telling it, but it is the truth. I mean, it's like, you know, it was a story of coming to a place without a plan, but moving here for Portland and for opportunities. It just felt right. So we did. And that was 7 years ago.
Dude, Portland reads so well, doesn't it? Like, yeah. I mean, like when I look at all the press, I mean, I'll be traveling out and about, wandering around the planet, and like even in places like Australia and Europe, you'll pick up some like rag and they'll be like, oh, and then destination Portland, Oregon. You're like, what happened? Wow.
Yeah, I became obsessed with it. And I think the first article that I read was the cover, the New York Times food section cover story on it was about Portland dining, but the cover photo and main focus of the story was Gabe Rucker at Le Pigeon. And it blew me away. You know, he was a young guy with very opinionated food. His food was, you know, whatever it seemed, you know, reading through his menu, it just seemed to be whatever he wanted to do, you know. And it seemed like a shoestring budget, too, because it was a small place. The silverware didn't match, and there wasn't any tablecloths, and there was no matching plates. And it just seemed like, you know, here's a guy that can, you know, just sort of open something and have the food be delicious and very opinionated and make it work, you know. So that was it was inspirational for me. I felt like there was possibilities here.
Yeah, dude, that guy's great. Chef Rucker, man. I don't know him too well. Met him a couple of times. But, yeah, he's kind of the quintessential modern Portland chef, man. I mean, just like kind of, you know, a nice balance of extreme innovation with like hyper precision and attention to detail with regards to his cooking. So, so you arrive in P-Town 7 years ago, and like you land, you got the kids, you got the wife, you got the team, and when did you start to like get this idea of a cart making ridiculously awesome sandwiches?
Well, it was more out of necessity, really. I had a job that fell through because some guys from Vermont were going to do a pizza concept here that never came to life. They had a space. They built the oven out of sand that was you know, pulled out of the Oregon coast, and it was gonna be awesome. But you know, crazy landlord and whatever, bankruptcy. And
crazy landlords in P-Town?
Yeah. Can you imagine? So it just never, I worked for 6 months just kind of like waiting for this thing to happen, and it fell through. And then I was like, well, I knew I didn't want to work for anyone else. I've reached a point in my career where I was, you know, too much my own boss to really, to work in someone else's kitchen. So, you know, I didn't have inroads to a lot of money. So, couldn't make a lot of connections as an outsider in Portland. So,
you just had to be awesome at something.
Yeah. So, at the time, carts were exploding, you know. It was basically the height of cart popularity. It was, you know, 7 years ago. Oh, it was more like 6 years ago. And I opened a cart called Lardo at 43rd and Belmont. The idea was that we were just going to do sandwiches.
Dude, sorry, man. I got to jump in. We're at the end of the first round, man. I'm glad we got right up to the first Lardo cart. Folks, we'll be right back at you in just a second. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where we are kicking it with Rick Giancarelli, the founder of Lardo Sandwiches, man, here in East Portland, also in West Portland, North Portland. He also has the magnificent Grassa, making sick pasta dinners and lunches for people. But in the last segment, if you were with us, we kind of learned a little bit about how Rick got made his way over to P-Town, man. He was telling us how he worked with Chef Todd English on the East Coast, a hyper-accomplished chef, celebrity chef, as much as any celebrity chef, to be sure. And like a lot of young culinary professionals, man, about 7 years ago, he and the family made his way out here, hearing that Portland was kind of like the land of milk and honey, the land of Canaan, so to speak, with regards to culinary endeavor. So anyway, and we wrapped up the last segment. You were just getting to you developing the Lardo cart, man. Tell me about that first Lardo cart. Tell me about the name, actually. Let's start with the name. Where did the name come from?
Name, you know, when I was in New York, I had this idea of opening a wine bar, you know, a small, you know, West Village or Lower East Side sort of kind of grimy little Italian wine bar that did, like, you know, that had porchetta out on a marble slab and was doing paninis and just delicious wines by the glass. And it never happened. You know, it was all a dream, but the name was always going to be Lardo. I just had it scribbled on a little piece of paper in my kitchen office at my W Hotel, you know, Olive's office. And, you know, it was just a dream. It was just something that I always thought about in the back of my mind. I love the name just because it's a reference to Italian fat. And I think that tells a story, you know. And I know, you know, everyone sort of had their own opinion about it. It's like naming a child, right? You never want to really get too many opinions about, you know, what you're going to name your child, because it's very personal. And I know that Lardo, the name, is very polarizing, you know, or seemingly so. You know, you don't have a lot of health conscious people seeking out a place like Lardo, but I think once we get him here, they understand that there's more to it than just, you know, piles of fat.
Yeah, there's totally, I mean, when you tee it up that way, I mean, there's a much larger intellectual reality to the thought. It wasn't like, man, we're gonna serve a bunch of high calorie things, it's called Lardo, let's roll that grenade into P-Town and see what happens. So so I know that wasn't what you were thinking, but once again, remind me, I know you said in the last segment, where was that first cart?
Well, where was it?
Yeah.
43rd and Belmont, Southeast. Yeah, it was a really, it's just got closed down now. They're going to develop, UDP is going to develop condominiums on it, I think, and some retail, but it was called Good Food Here, and I think it was at, you know, going back 6 years, it was probably the best food cart pod, you know, in Portland for a lot of reasons. It was, you know, clean and family friendly, and there was a nice cross section of Portland, you know, demographic that would eat. There was like some local business people. There were families. There were hipsters. It was just like the best of all worlds. It was like a perfect kind of situation. We did well there. Yeah, it wasn't a late night sort of, not like right across the street there. You know, they do their business, you know, between like from 11 to 2 a.m. they probably, you know, do all of or 80% of their business over there, which is great. But that's not what, I didn't want to get into that. I wanted to be somewhere where I could be open for lunch and then, you know, serve until 8 or 9 o'clock. We had a 10 o'clock curfew, so we couldn't go past it. But by 9, it was a ghost town anyway. So, yeah, did that for 2 years.
Dude, yeah, you're right. So we're sitting out here at Lardo East on Hawthorne. He's referring to, my man Rick's referring to the place across the street. It's actually a great little pod, but it's like food cart nightclub over there, man. It's just like, you know, like it does. It makes its money from like 11 to 2 a.m. And I got to imagine you're a man with a wife and a couple kids. It's like, that's just not going to fly. So, man, I mean, this has really been the dream. I mean, you do the cart, and then you move into some really killer brick and mortars. Tell me about the process of moving from cart to brick and mortar.
It was, it took a while, because I was starting to, you know, give Kurt Huffman I was starting to give him calls and emails and seeing if, I heard that he was doing this thing called Chef's Table, which was, to me, a perfect scenario where he would provide all of the back end infrastructure, paying your bills, doing your licensing, negotiating a lease, you name it, all the things that I didn't know how to do or didn't want to do, you know, because let's face it, you know, most chefs just want to cook, right? And they want to be in operations, but they don't really, there aren't a lot of opportunities for a chef to really learn how to do all of that other stuff, unless you went to business school, you know what I mean? So, turned out to be perfect. I got in touch with him. He was excited about Lardo. We had been getting a lot of press and a lot of attention. Our lines were getting longer and longer, and I felt like after 2 years I had sort of established myself. Only in Portland can you make a name for yourself in an 8x10 food cart.
Well, maybe Singapore, man. I don't know, man. Singapore's got those hawker stands. You ever been to Singapore, man?
No, but it's on my list. I want to check it out.
It's the only other city in the world that just has the food cart culture that we have. Like, you don't need to even remotely throw a sport coat on and go to a nice restaurant in that city, man. Right. You just need to sweatshirt it up and, like, just go roll around and, like, get car food, man.
Yeah.
So you were talking about Chef Stable, man. So you met Kurt. Kurt obviously has really done so much to kind of help evolve dining in this city, bars and dining, by offering a kind of back of the house kind of development structure that a lot of us kind of artisans like myself, because I'm partners with them as well, don't have. So that works out. And then where was the first brick and mortar Lardo?
Oh, right here.
Yeah. Right here where we're having a beer.
That's right. This is what I consider to be, you know, the sort of perfect, if I could duplicate Lardo, it would be, I think Kurt would agree that this would be the footprint. You know, we have 90 seats out here under a heated covered tent in the winter. In the summer, it's topless and it's beautiful, umbrellas and lights. And, it's basically a beer garden. I mean, when we first looked at this space, you know, Kurt kind of looked out at the parking lot and said, you know, we just close this off and make it seating. And I was like, I don't know. You know, we don't want to give up 6 parking spaces in this part of town. I don't know. I had my doubts, you know. And then
actually got to jump in real quick, Rick. We are at the end of the second round, man. This is so much fun. Crushing beers with Rick Gencarelli out here at Lardo East on Hawthorne. We'll be right back at you in just a moment. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network, where we are sitting out here at Lardo East on Hawthorne in East Portland, chatting with Rick Gencarelli, man. This has been such a cool conversation. If you haven't been with us, man, Rick is, man, this guy is quite a success story here in Portland. Started working with Todd English, one of the great kind of celebrity chefs in the world. He really was a definitive kind of culinary voice coming from the East Coast. About 15, 20 years ago, Rick spent a lot of time over there, moved to P-Town because, man, that's where culinary people went to, like, kind of seek out a life for themselves. And he ended up starting a small cart called Lardo. This cart blew up. He joined forces with Kurt Huffman, a local restaurateur. We were just talking about in the last segment, Lardo East, your original Lardo, just being kind of like the template, the mothership, so to speak, man. And how you, I think at the very end, we were talking about how this parking lot that is now covered for dining where we're sitting right now, yeah, it's just great, like for if you want to be on the revenue development program, right? And then it's winter now, of course, but during the summer, man, it's like you said, it's beautiful and topless. And who doesn't want to be somewhere where it's beautiful and topless? But I digress. But so you've got the Lardo East. How quickly did the expansion happen within the company? I mean, when did I think the West was your second Lardo, your brick and mortar, second brick and mortar?
Yeah. So I think it was 4 months after we had opened Hawthorne, and we were slamming busy. Never anticipated that we would have the response that we did when we opened Hawthorne. So we were just barely staying afloat every day. Me and my chef Chaz, who's still with me, we're just trying to figure out how to stay ahead. We went from 150 sandwiches a day to 800 sandwiches a day, and we were so flabbergasted and just working. And then so we finally figured it out after 4 months. We had to hire more people, and we had to figure it out how to keep our ticket times under 40 minutes, which was our biggest challenge. Man, oh man. And then I get a call from Kurt, and I'm out right here in the patio when he calls me, and he said, I got a crazy idea. Are you sitting down? I think we should bring Lardo downtown, because, you know, at the time he had just closed, he was in the process of closing Corazon, you know, his giant Mexican restaurant. And so he said, I got a space. It's the corner spot. It was the bar for Corazon. I think it'd be perfect. Just go check it out. And I went down there, and it was, you know, Kurt and I both suffer from the same sort of, you know, we're both junkies for growth and challenges. And that's why I really get along with him so well. So I think he knew that he would have me hooked. And I went down and looked at it and immediately wanted to put it in there. So, yep. So 4 months, well, probably 2 months after that, we opened Lardo on the west side. Yeah, 12th and Washington. It's still there.
And I got to jump in real quick because a couple things that struck me. A, I'm borrowing Junkie for Growth as a cocktail name because that's just so awesome. And number two, like, that's a pretty special story, actually. A couple things with regards to that. You know, when you moved over there, I mean, Corazon, you know, was an ambitious project. It took up a very large footprint over there. And it didn't work out. It's a tough industry. And then the pivot over there, taking it, splicing it into three. The Lardo, of course, went in there. But that was also the birth of your second professional baby, Grasso, which, you know me, you see me over there crushing pasta left and right. So, you know, let's talk a little bit about your pasta spot, Grasso, man. I mean, so how did that come about, man?
So the part that Kurt didn't tell me when we decided to do the Lardo at, and the corner spot was that we would eventually have to do something with that middle space, right? And that's what we called it. It's still, the LLC for that is still Middle Space, which I think is kind of funny. We almost named the restaurant Middle Space, but I think everyone hated it.
Not captivating.
Not captivating at all. So, you know, so what do we do with this space? You know, we could lease it out to another entity, which is just that's a recipe for disaster, right? Two chefs sharing the same walk-in dry storage, you know, potentially more. Not good, right? I just don't, even if you're the best of friends, it's never going to work.
Punch is thrown.
Yeah, exactly. So we decide that it's going to be ours, but now we have to figure out the concept, right? And we kind of threw out a lot of things. Nick Sherman and I, who's a, you know, director of operations, for lack of a different title for him. That's
director of awesomeness for Lardo and Grasso, right?
Director of all things. Nick Sherman, awesome dude, good friend. And I credit him with coming up with the idea. He knew that I had a background making, I made pasta my whole career. And just... didn't really dawn on me that this would be such an awesome opportunity to make pasta and serve pasta in a way that was somewhere between, you know, the super kind of really family focused things like Just the Pasta and Pastini, but not high end like Nostrana, Ava Jean's, Renata, you know, the places where they're charging, or they have to charge $25-$26 for a small portion plate of pasta, you know. So somewhere in the middle was an opportunity for us in the pasta world to have fun, to make something super fresh and in front of people, and have the price point, you know, between $12 and $15. Bring the kids or don't bring the kids. You're not sacrificing a good time. You're still listening to really good music. You're in a cool environment. But, you know, it's counter service, it's communal dining. You have to make some kind of sacrifices for that price point, right? So we figured, well, we'll give it a shot. And it might, it, it might be terrible. Or, as it turned out...
less than terrible.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I'm very proud of it, and I'm very excited about it. And we just signed a lease to do Grasa 2 on Northwest 23rd, which I couldn't be more excited about being neighbors with Aaron Barnett at St. Jack. I will be visiting him often. And I'm excited. It's a whole different ball game there.
I've been saying both on this episode and to you, like, I mean, as much as I love Lardo, like, the idea of having world-class pasta at that price point in that room, I always talk about ESP, environment service product. Grasa is that. I go in and the rock is cranking, the room feels good, the light's right, the staff is on it, and they're just warm, and then you got that pasta, and we're watching you make the pasta at the same time. There's so many elements, there's so much tactile, there's so much good tactile kind of sensation happening over there. So you got the new Grasa coming up. How soon do you see that materializing?
That's going to be April, late April, early May.
Not soon enough, man.
Not soon enough. It's perfect, actually. Gives us some time.
It's not going to break you guys. And I have to, so as I recall, you're right across from the Matador there, right?
Yep, the Matador. What else is over there?
You said St. Jack is right there. Our buddy Aaron Barnett, that bar is sweet. That's just, that place is blowing. That whole little area. You got Atuala. I went in there the other night. That Spanish place is just cranking, dude. Okay. It's a good time area, man. I just see my man boobs expanding with a Sunday night with some pasta at Grasa, and then just like stumbling over to Matador for the $5 nachos. It's gonna get ugly for McGarian.
That's. It's been so much fun, you know, and you know that I think, you know, that the feeling of not knowing where it's all going. I mean, that's kind of why I got into this business, and it's kind of why I love this business, is that it's you know, I never had a plan. So just to see where this goes and to see what the opportunities are, you know, and this having this, after doing now three Lardos and the bakery and now two Grasas, I feel like it's just so much fun, you know. Well, as you know, just brainstorming and coming up with different concepts and, you know, taking chances. I just think it's fantastic, you know.
It's addictive, man. I mean, like, I'm just going to call a spade. You and I are very similar, man. And we're fiends for the action, dude. It's just like, I love that line. That's from the movie Heat, that Michael Manfield. You're a fiend for the action, man. But, once again, we're chatting with Rick Gencarelli, the founder chef of both Lardo and Grasa. I hope you're enjoying this conversation as much as me. I hope you're chilling, enjoying this fine P-Town Saturday afternoon. Fourth round coming at you in just a second. And welcome back to the Liquid Lifestyle here on the Radio Northwest Network. Actually, this afternoon, it's the Lardo Lifestyle, because we're chatting with Rick Gencarelli, the founder chef of Lardo, the famed sandwich shop here in P-Town, as well as Grasa, just the life-giving pastaria over there on just off 12th and Washington. And as Rick shared for the first time today, that's going up there on 23rd, and that's exciting stuff. So in our last segment, Rick, and generally it's not the Lardo lifestyle, it's the Liquid lifestyle. And one of the things you and your team, Nick Sherman, your director of awesomeness, and the rest of your folks do so well is you guys just curate some of the best small format tapless in the city. I mean, like, I cheat, you know, at Oven and Shaker, you know, I'm proud of our tap list, but man, I'm always like rolling to Lardo, like, hey, Nick, can I taste a few of your beers so I can put them on my tap list? How did you guys get so savvy about selecting your beers? Is that a community thing? Is that a Rick thing? Is that a Nick thing? What's going on?
Yeah, it's a little bit of all of those, really, but it all starts with a love of beer, which I think, you know, it's just sort of infectious, you know, it's like, Nick and I both drink a lot of beer.
Yeah, you do.
And then so, you know, if you drink something or eat something long enough, you're going to start to understand it or develop your own sort of opinions about it. And we opened Hawthorne with 18 handles, two of them nitro. And, man, in a town like Portland, it's so easy. It's so easy to fill your list with amazing beers. I mean, Kurt's doing 99 handles at Loyal Legion, and it's all Oregon. You know what I mean? That's amazing to me.
Yeah, but I guess I want to, like, pinpoint, because one of the things I respect about your Suds program, we'll call it, is that you guys have a really good palate for balanced beers. Yeah, I mean, it's easy. I mean, like, yeah, I mean, it's pretty cool. I mean, Loyal Legion has 99 beers, and they curate beautifully. But in general, it's pretty easy in Portland to get a bunch of weird beers on tap and look cool. I find that you guys have good... It's rare that I, like, drink something off a Lardo tap handle and think, oh, who was sailing that boat?
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you. That's awesome because, you know, at the end of the day, you know, is it delicious? And would you want to drink it with a Lardo sandwich? I mean, that's kind of like, that's the very loosely based criteria that we have for beer. But we don't have really, outside of that, there are no rules. I mean, we get beer from everyone from a gypsy brewer in Eugene to, you know, Widmer. You know, when it's, we taste it all. We empower our front of the house guys, our managers or, you know, supervisors to cultivate the list. And so far, I think we've set this sort of culture where luckily we just bring in a lot of delicious, awesome beer. And it's been so much fun to the beer community is so much fun. And we've gotten to get we've built relationships with so many fantastic people, and we do these takeovers now. You know, I credit Nick Sherman with this because it's a tap takeover like on steroids. We invite the brewer, you know, the brewery, to come in and completely rebrand our store. Have you seen it? You know, window treatments, floor treatments, merchandise, artwork, anything that makes their tasting room unique to them, they bring to Lardo, and almost to the point of being confusing to our customers, especially downtown, where they think that, oh my God, Bowie has bought, you know, or has taken the lease over at Lardo. And you know, it's funny because the breweries are trying to outdo each other, you know, with how much they can rebrand one of our locations. And in February, we've got Zwickle Mania, where Six Point's going to take over our Hawthorne shop. Freem is going to take over our downtown. Yeah, I think I got that right. Might be backwards. Either way, it's going to be fun. Really fun.
Dude, I've been to so many of your takeovers, man. And you're right, man. It's like they just own it. I remember, I think the first one that just was like, I was rolling down 12th and it looked like Bowie had just opened a brewery there on 12th and Washington, man. And then the Ballast Point one was sick too. Yeah. It is really cool. Like, these are such good ideas. I mean, the restaurant industry is tough. I don't care if you kill it or not. I mean, these are just things you got to do, right?
Absolutely. I mean, how do you keep things fresh? It's so competitive, right? And there's more sandwiches in this town than there were, you know, 6 years ago, 7 years ago. More carts are expanding into brick and mortar. There's more choices. It's very difficult. So what do? You know what I mean? It's like we want to make it fun. We want to make it fresh. We want people to be excited when they hear about Lardo.
And you're killing it, man. Dude, we got to jump out. We're at the end of the episode, man. Thank you so much, Rick Gencarelli, founder of Lardo and Grassa. Awesome conversation. Folks, have an awesome Saturday night here in P-Town.